Monsieur.
I'm gonna start fading out.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation.
What's up, Kelly?
What's up, Mark?
It's a morning episode.
Yeah, we are recording in the morning because I'm still on my holiday break, which I know we always say we're not gonna like refer what time of the
yeah. Well, you don't have to say which holiday. Could be Halloween.
That's true. Anyway.
It could be that week you take off during Halloween.
Yeah, right. My Halloween week. Totally. Because I'm
going to be on Halloween. All types of stuff.
We are today talking about Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, the banker and the bum. The banker and the bum.
Yeah. Hi-ho. How's the song go? Hi-ho.
Yeah, it's like,
it's stereo or something.
High banker and the bum.
Which is season one, episode 20. So kind of an earlier one. This one, well, actually, I was thinking about this and recording this, I guess. Well, this is going to be another reference to the time of year, I guess. But I think it was on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. I was watching, because it was like on Pluto. So like in the morning, so there's this channel on Pluto called Feel Good Drama, which just cycles through like Dr. Quinn, Highway to Heaven, and Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
Which Touched by an Angel, I'm not so much into, so I don't really watch that. But I, of course, watch.
A lot of people love it, though.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's like those three. It's like a channel for like those three shows or whatever. Okay. But anyway, so like Dr. Quinn's on in the morning, so I was like watching that, and then at 11 o'clock it becomes Highway to Heaven. So I was watching that on Christmas Eve, just like hanging out with my kids, and during the theme song, which they both enjoy, like theme songs.
Cause yeah,
you know they're enjoyable, right? Sure. And I mean, like I guess kids like the music or whatever. During the Highway to Heaven theme song, though. So my daughter gets like all excited, you know, like when the theme song comes on and she sits there and she's watching it.
Highway to Heaven, right?
Yeah, for Highway to Heaven. Yeah. So she's like sitting there watching it. She's all excited that it's on. She's very like intently looking like the clouds and everything. When we get to the part when like the part where Michael Landon appears on screen, like the word Michael Landon, and he turns and you see his face and everything.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is like a minute into the song.
The whole intro, it's the longest intro to any TV show. It's so horrible.
She, like, smiles so big.
Oh, my God.
Like, when he turns to the screen and it says Michael Landon, like, she smiles so big. Like, she's just, like, already a Michael Landon fan.
Like, right
here?
Yeah,
like, this part. Yeah, like, this part. Like, specifically when he turns his face. Yeah, like she loves it. Like that part, like she just like loves it so much. Like she's just such a Michael Landon fan already. She's only two and she already knows what is up.
I don't know, maybe she just knows it's Victor French coming on the screen that she's like, yeah, I'm excited to see Victor French in a scruffy beard.
Yeah. She's like a Mr. Edwards fan.
He's like beep. Beep beep. This is actually
like his face when he appears.
That's like, the way he should have appeared.
Yeah, but right? Go back to like when Michael Landon. Yeah, that's basically like the face she makes when she sees him on screen.
That's so funny. wouldn't it have been more funny though if he didn't get into the car? He just appeared like that. Yeah.
they could have done it. It would have been hilarious.
Like he just goes bing bing.
Just scares the crap out of him.
They actually, run off the road.
Like, they could have worked stuff like that in and like made it like a little bit more funny if he just kind of like scares the crap out of him sometimes. But
you know what? For
I don't
future...
know. I feel like maybe they didn't like want to make the show like that funny, even though there is like funny stuff in it. But I think maybe they didn't want to like make so much of a joke about it.
Yeah.
But like it could have been really funny to just sort of have him like messing with Mark, you know, just like doing crazy little things like that.
They do little stuff, yeah, but I mean, it's just one of those things where, let's see if I can get this to work. Wait.
Are you gonna do like the Bewitched noise?
I thought this was like the bing. but it's not. Hold on, let's see if.
Let me get this picture on the wall.
What? Sorry, right, forget. I got one in there.
I was a little bummed the other day because, as I've been kind of recovering, like in and out from this sort of like extended cold or whatever it is that I have. I was like, I feel like watching some Bewitched. And I like couldn't find it streaming anywhere for free. Because it's on Amazon, no free seasons. And then it used to be on Tubi, not on there anymore. And, I mean, it's probably out there somewhere, but I was like, why is it so hard to access Bewitched? I do actually have it on DVD, but I still was like.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, all right, it's cool to have the DVD and all that kind of stuff. But I find it very laborious to get up and get the DVD.
Right, and it's like, I'd rather just, like, tell the TV what I want to watch, and it gives it to me.
It's kind of like the old days of, like, MP3s, where you would burn an MP3, like, CD. I don't know if you ever did that.
Of course I did.
All right, but you'd have, like, 80 hours.
Right, MP3s. Yeah.
And, you know, it was, like, kind of, you know, I didn't have an iPod right away, so, like, that was my, like, the poor man's iPod right there. And it held more. I just swap it out for another one. Yeah. But yeah, it's a shame. Bing. All right. I have to get that. I have to clip that sound. So, we're doing the banker and the bum. Whoops. What's going on here?
Oh, it's malfunctioning. It's stuck on the intro. They're like, you're going to like it and watch it again. You like the intro.
Yeah. So we used to have this guy who lived literally across the street from me who used to stand on, like, he had a stroke years and years ago, and he had all, like, ever since then he was just kind of like, it made him like this simple person, and he would give everybody a thumbs up. He would literally, like, you see him, he'd give me a thumbs up. He would like stand on the street and just give everyone a thumbs up, and it's like, who the hell is this guy, you know? And of course I live across the street from him, and it ends up, yeah, he had a stroke, and and that's his thing. His name was Thumbs Up Guy. Like, it's one of those things. He passed away. He's an older guy. He's very gentle, very nice guy. But now we have this guy who, in front of our 7-Eleven, he does exactly what Willie does with the waving. And I really hate that kind of thing. I kind of hate a whole, a lot of people might be like, all right, Mark, what's your problem? I don't like a whole vagrancy hanging out type of thing, you know? But this is where I kind of attack our Queens listeners a little bit. You can expect that a little bit more in Queens, right? But I'm on Long Island, right? We have the second highest taxes in the nation. I shouldn't have to deal with that. So I brought it up, and then I got, like, attacked because, like, he's a veteran. I'm like, I don't think he's a veteran. Like, I don't want to get rid of the guy. I don't want him to, like, get on a bus and ship him to, like, another state or something like that. But
right.
What the hell is he doing? He's basically, Willie would really annoy me. I'm sorry. And I've gone up to this guy and I'm like, hey, how's everything? He's just waving at me. And I'm like, you okay? You need anything? And he needs nothing. He's just there waving. Yeah. And he's all dirty and stuff.
Well, and I think we've kind of gone into this a little bit before, but so this is yet another episode, of course, where we have a homeless, you know, guy featured, which we have numerous episodes of Highway to Heaven.
Right.
It's kind of the homeless population. And spoiler alert, you know, we kind of have this, like, body switching thing going on with the rich guy where they kind of trade. I guess it's sort of like a walk in their shoes kind of thing. Yeah.
Literally,
which,
yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, literally, like, you know, walk in their shoes kind of thing. But I think we've kind of talked about this before that, you know, kind of wonder if, well, you know, so, like, there are a few different issues that kind of resurface numerous times in Highway to Heaven, like homelessness, like addiction, adoption, environment stuff comes up.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've heard, like, kind of, like, the government spending money on, like, killing people via, like, you know, war or whatever, but not saving them, like,
sick
via
kids,
like medication, like stuff like that. So and that come in it, you know, they come up like a few times. So I'm kind of like, okay, these maybe were just sort of like hot button issues, maybe for Michael Landon, or maybe just something that he was kind of interested in.
Well, the pollution thing was a big 80s thing, like acid rain and
stuff like that. Right. Yeah. But then, you know, like with like, say, like the homeless thing, and, you know, like Michael Lannon's life beginning was like, you know, pretty rough, as we know. And then he ended up basically just really like was fortunate. Right. Like when he was kind of like discovered. And
so could you tell, like, how was his life rough? Like, that's one thing I'm not really so clear on. I know his mother was not a model parent. Like, she was a pretty abusive person. But,
well, yeah, I mean,
but he grew up in Forest Hills, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was like psychological abuse.
Right. But I'm saying, like, I don't think I don't know if I ever read that he didn't grow up with, like, going, you know, like, not having things.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think that
I'm not sure
kind of where I was going was like not that he was necessarily like doing without, but like so, like the Wally episode, would we hear stories about people who ended up homeless and it was like because of unfortunate circumstances that happened to them. So I think like that sort of thing where like his life was kind of like rough, and like if he had gone down a different path, it could have been like, you know. I know we had this conversation.
Yeah, no, I know.
In a different episode, but not saying that like that he was necessarily was like physically doing without, or that he, you know, was like destined for like this sort of path otherwise. But I think like the idea of like
a soft spot for it, like he knew that. Yeah,
basically that like people, that everybody is like not that different, like fundamentally, but that are like just different sets of circumstances and how they kind of play out in your life.
And also, we only know the public Michael Landon. We don't really know what happened to him.
Right.
But it also kind of makes me think about, I'm forgetting the name of his real name, but Hop Singh, who kind of, you know, ended up being penniless and stuff like that during this period of time.
Right.
And it's like, hey, you know, you worked with this guy, you could use some help.
Yeah.
But, I guess then, you can't help everyone, you know, but
yeah. Well, and then, I mean, I would even argue that just even like the psychological, you know, abuse, like from his mother and stuff could have, in some ways, perhaps a much more profound impact than say, if he did have to like have a less fortunate upbringing in terms of like physical or, you know what I mean? Cause like,
maybe his mom hated like homeless people or something. Like maybe had like a real issue and it was like
and this is kind of like it could be that, or maybe just kind of like his reaction to that. But yeah, that's just purely speculation, because I don't know how his mom felt about homeless people. But
actually I do. I'm writing a book. My homeless prejudices.
But I mean, these are just things where it's like, I guess I don't have like proof. But it's just sort of like things that I sort of speculate maybe is kind of like a motivation of his for kind of.
But it, being that it's such a, I don't want to use the word repetitive, but we do go back to this type of thing in all of his work, right? Like whether it be Little House or, I mean, he didn't have as much control on Bonanza. So I don't know if that kind of snuck into like any of the storylines, but I bet you it did on some level.
Well, and I mean, I think that even though like, and you know, we're just kind of like speculating maybe on some of his motivations and stuff here, what we do know, because like, I think it's commonly known that he made it known that he, in his TV shows, was really trying to like, you know, kind of like these ideals, like playing out these ideals, right? Kind of like ideal family, like, you know, in Little House, like ideal husband, ideal father, kind of stuff that like he didn't really have. And he just sort of like, and I mean, like, Bonanza, I think, is like, a very family-oriented show. And then, of course, this show is...
we get some questionable moments, too, like, throughout his career. Oh, like, when Nels goes definitely. And meets that Irish girl, or Scottish girl, whatever she was. And it's like, hey, it's fine. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He's gonna come back to his wife. And it's like, all right. It's really...
Yeah.
On the edge of my opinion.
I mean, I don't know if, like, if it... I don't know. We'll have to discuss that.
I know.
It's like, I don't know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like a whole other conversation. I don't know if it was really just like, oh, it's fine. But then also it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
The scenario doesn't sit well with me, but I understand how it can be argued completely. You know, I mean, it's not like they did anything. They didn't. And, yeah.
No. Well, I mean, it was like an emotional affair.
Yeah.
And there's your song. Kiss.
You're writing lyrics here. It's an emotional affair.
Well, I mean, they did kiss, which
it's not nothing, like, right?
No, exactly. So it's like, I mean, could you really call it? It's actually funny because this episode was on a couple days ago on the channel on Pluto, and Pete and I were talking about it, and I was like, do you think that they had an affair, or like, you know? And then Pete was like, well, it was an emotional affair. And I was like, well, yeah, it definitely was that. And then, like, there was a kiss, which is like not nothing, but it's also like not, you know, like really full-blown like having an affair. But then I think that like the kiss in combination with the emotional affair, and he was buying her things, and like, I don't know. So it was like, yeah, it wasn't nothing, but
it was something.
Yeah, there was something going on there.
The girl was only a little older than Nelly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, although she looked a lot older.
She
like,
did.
Let's be real. Like, yeah, she looks middle-aged.
I like how colorful she is, though. Like, physically and her character.
But sometimes her singing, constant singing, I don't remember.
Her crazy accent. But, all right, so... Willie, who's played by Ned Beatty, who I love. Ned Beatty, to me, he's always going to be Lex Luthor from Superman movies. He's playing both characters, which I think is very odd for this particular storyline. On the surface, it's fine. He's a special, you know, he's kind of a big star at this point. A big star, but he's a star. You know, everybody knows who he is. And I don't know what, I mean, I guess because they could swap and people confuse them for each other, but I don't know. Well, you could have done that anyway.
I guess that part kind of works, but then also sort of going back to like, you know, what I was saying before, do you think that could kind of like underscore the idea like that? It's like, okay, as people, you're like fundamentally the same, but it's that you have different life circumstances. And then that's sort of like the, like, they have the experience of kind of like walking in each other's shoes and like experiencing what things are like, you know, from the other person's point of view. But I mean, like, maybe it was intentional that it was the same guy to just be like,
had to,
you know, right? Like, you're like, you're acting like the rich guy, for example, is acting like, you know, like someone like Willie is like so beneath him, almost like, and like almost like, no better than like say like an animal, which I don't mean, I love animals, of course. I don't mean
they even say that later.
Sort of like how they would like how, you know, like they would kind of like talk and be like, you know, basically like this is just like someone who could be cast aside, like meaningless, and you know, maybe by using the same person, you know, they're actually kind of underscoring like that's not the case, like it is a person.
But here's just Willie, like is Willie doing his what he does best? He waves. So this is literally what the guy does, like on in front of 7-Eleven. It shouldn't bother me so much, but it does. Maybe it's my life goal. I don't know. Maybe I should go out there and compete with him.
Maybe like you're really, this stems from jealousy. You just want to be the guy.
This is a great way to get my son to never speak to me again. To go stand in front of a local 7-Eleven and just wave people hi. Let's see, we're in the car, and yeah, like you're right, the Mark's digestion becomes like an ongoing topic, which is kind of funny. Another thing with Willie is he doesn't ask for anything. You know, he's not like, hey, give me a dollar or something.
He was nice.
He's...
Oh, I feel awful.
Now, what's the matter?
I got indigestion from that burrito we had back there.
Well, maybe you should have stopped after the taco and the hamburger and the malt and the fries.
Wait, aren't you going to some festival later? Where they might be serving these very foods. This is going to be you and Pete talking later. You got tomes.
Not the quantity. They put something in that burrito. Olives. Olives always give me indigestion.
Well, olives in a burrito. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess I've had olives on a taco and it's been good.
Black olives? Yeah, I can go for black olives.
I guess maybe.
In a burrito, though? I don't know why.
I mean, that does seem weird, but I mean, I guess in theory, anything that works on a taco should work in a burrito, right?
I don't know how you do things down there.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I probably won't get olives in a burrito either, but.
Hence the heartburn you'll have later. I'm just kidding.
Not knowing where we're going gives me indigestion.
Now, green olives, yeah, I like them individually and everything, but I wouldn't put them on food. But black olives are addictive to me. I don't know. I like them a lot.
Yeah, so I love olives. I love green olives. Mm-hmm.
You don't
best.
Like black olives? Did you say that
no,
you
I
don't
love,
like them?
But I do love black olives. Okay. I like pretty much all olives. I don't know. I mean, there's probably some crazy type of olive out there that I don't like. But generally speaking, like, I just love olives.
I don't like the
cured ones. But, like, green
ones,
olives.
Those purple ones? I don't know. They're too much for me.
The green olives, though, I don't really like, in food. But I like to eat just, like, as a snack. You know, just the olives. Black olives, I prefer, like, in food. I will eat them, but, like, if I'm just going to sit there and, like, snack on just olives, like, apart from anything else, I would prefer the green ones.
Do you ever have the stuffed ones? The ones with stuff with garlic?
Yeah, I don't really care for that too much, I guess. I mean, the olive part I like, but I'm kind of like, I don't really need, like, the stuff because, like, I just like the olives, so I kind of just like it, like, stripped down, you know?
You and I had this idea later. I'm just going to reveal it because hopefully we can figure out how to do this, but we were thinking we could record an episode somehow while shopping, right?
Yeah.
And it would just be funny because both of us would be like, all right, go to the olive aisle so we can have this discussion.
Yeah.
It's like, what? They don't have this over there?
Yeah. So, that would be crazy. So weird. What kind of dog sweaters does your oldie have?
Let's go do a live stream. It could be fun, you know? We have a few ideas, but if anybody's out there and they feel like they can man the fort in the sense of playing clips, please reach out to us. I could show you how to do it. It's not that hard. But if you screw up, we'll never speak to you again.
Exactly.
It should be around here somewhere.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Ah, that's it.
That's what?
Olive Street Park. Isn't that kind of funny? Odd, like Olive Street.
Right there.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Gotta be a bad sign.
Turn.
So, do we know where this is? I mean, I'd look up Olive Street, but I don't. I mean, is that a real park, you think?
I'm not sure. I would.
It just says Department of Parks and Recreation. It doesn't.
I mean, I would assume like LA or something is where we're supposed to be, but. Or maybe, you know, somewhere around there. But I guess I'm not really sure. Clearly, some city in California.
There is an Olive Street Park in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And I can imagine this, you know. Sending
maybe that's where they are then.
Yeah. Oh my god! All right, I didn't mean to rewind to the exact spot.
to the grossest part of the episode.
Spotify will send the thing. There's too many belches in this episode. We're gonna
look at Mark's face. I mean, not Mark. Jonathan's face.
Yeah, it's like that's. Because he's holding his breath and he's cracking a window in the fear of getting a whiff.
That's like, you know, when your dog farts. He's like, gotta get out of here.
Yeah, both my terrible. Dogs have been kind of going off lately.
It's just the worst.
One and a half, I Fifi.
I called them ass blasts.
Ass blasts. I have to have the, actually,
yeah, that's what Harriet thinks when she does that.
Ah, that's it.
That's what?
I right thought there. It was gonna be.
Gotta be a bad.
All right. When life gives you lemons, make a funny clip. So, all right, so we have Willie feeding squirrels, and these are, like, these have to be professionally trained squirrels, right?
Well, don't some squirrels in parks just get really, like, friendly?
Would you let a squirrel get this close to you?
Maybe. I actually really like squirrels. I think they're adorable.
I like them from a distance, but ever since they tried to chew through my ceiling when I first bought this house,
Well, I guess we had a similar situation with a squirrel. We had to get new fascia, but I do still think they're cute.
They're basically rats with furry tails. I mean, if you gave them like one of those, like a mouse tail, you wouldn't feel the same way about them.
Look at the big butt on that squirrel.
Yeah, it's a big ass butt.
It's eating well.
Looks like I always think that they're gonna poop or something. I do like them. I don't I wouldn't try to hit one. We get a billion of them around here.
Yeah, I'm sure like in the case of Willie, he's always at this park and stuff, and he's named the squirrels and everything. And I'm sure they just come to him at least because they're like, hey, this guy has food.
Also, his newspaper is Rich Plans Large Budget Cuts. With his face right there.
With that picture of Melvin Rich. Melvin Rich.
Melvin Rich. So.
Just walks around the park like, naughty
dog.
I mean, look at that poor guy.
What's this guy? Is he the guy behind them? I mean, he comes into the story a little bit in a minute, but who just stands by a tree reading a newspaper?
Oh, yeah.
Like that guy, he looks like an FBI informant over there.
That's pretty funny.
Be funny if it's like carved here. It's like Laura Love. What was it? Laura Loves Manly? I forget which one.
Their Albert. Initials, I think.
The Albert thing.
Oh, right? Albert Loves Sylvia, right. The tree carving.
R.I.P.
I mean, he is gone. I mean, really gone. I mean, he's out there.
We do have a heart right here. If you look.
Oh yeah, looks like a lot of people card on that.
Mark
tree.
And Jonathan.
Just so funny. Yeah, right. I was watching Little House the other day, the Chicago episode.
Yeah.
And when Pa arrives in Chicago, and Mr. Edwards is like, "I got us a room," and I was like, "Oh, it's a precursor of their future, their future of Top sharing bunk. Rooms together all the time." Yeah.
Lost contact with Houston control. He's just sitting there talking to himself like.
So, as a viewer, I don't like that we don't know when people can see and when they can't see because, all right, so Jonathan just walked away, right?
Yeah.
But, so this guy didn't notice it. Can he see Jonathan? This episode made me start questioning if people can see Jonathan.
Well, and then what's also weird, too, is that and then later in the episode when Jonathan's like, he can't see us, Jonathan was able to make them both invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, if Jonathan, because other episodes, which I can't recall offhand which ones, but I know it's come up in other episodes where he's like, oh, like, they can't see me right now.
Yeah,
I think that generally people can see Jonathan because he interacts with people, right? And then he will be like, they can't see me now or right now. Or like he'll say it in some way that implies that like he used the stuff or whatever to make himself invisible. Yeah, the stuff, that's what they call it. Although like in this case, I guess for the viewer, maybe he had to leave. But it's like I wonder if it would have been better to have him still there but invisible and have Mark talking to him, and then like I don't know, or maybe as you know what I mean, like maybe he had to leave so that Mark looks crazier that way, like to the audience, I guess, to get that point across. But
you know what would have really helped, like maybe like just a little sign like this. You know?
Yeah, right. Or like maybe what is like Mark or not Mark, Jonathan, is he like supposed to always be invisible, but he makes himself visible for assignments?
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, don't tell me that bum's our next assignment.
That's right.
And I hate the term bum. I do think that the bum comment is just always so like cruel, but.
Well, I mean, like, I've never really heard someone use it in a, like, non-derogatory fashion, right?
Yeah. Hey, I'm a bum. Well, yeah, I'm just bumming around.
Yeah.
That is kind of a weird very offensive.
Right.
He hasn't got much longer to live, Mark. It's 24 hours. We're here to grant him a wish.
So this is kind of weird.
The original Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Wish for more wishes. If you just wish for more
wishes. Yeah, what if it, what if his wish is like, to live forever. I want to live forever.
Yeah. Guess he would get it, you know?
Yeah. You know, actually, when I was watching this before, though, I missed right there when he says that he has 24 hours to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because then in the episode, when he ends up dying, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, why is he dying? Like, I just thought it was like really crazy. But I obviously they say basically at the beginning that he's going to die. But
he's only, I mean, Ned Beatty's about 48 years old here.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he's dying. I mean, I guess we're not too.
Well, and like we don't really get indication of health issues, but we also only get like one day into, you know, a peak of one day into his life.
But he doesn't cough once, you know, like it's, yeah, could have done, he could have thrown in anything. Lazy writing. And that beard, it's out of control. All right, so this is the scene with the crazy, with the squirrel.
The business district. Boy, I would really like to tell that guy a thing or two.
What would you want?
So Willie's on the bench talking to his imaginary friend.
Charlie.
Charlie.
What? Who, me?
Yeah. I couldn't help but overhear what you were saying to your friend there.
Look at that squirrel. It's basically like us watching Little House in the Prairie.
Yes.
My friend? You mean Charlie?
Mm-hmm. Now, my name's Jonathan. This is my friend Mark.
How you doing there, Charlie?
I just want to point out that Jonathan's skin looks like almost a little too good. Like it looks like he's wearing like makeup. That just
who's he talking to?
Like,
yeah, they're both.
Which like it's like okay, I'm sure he is wearing makeup because he's on TV, right? But sure. It's like he just kind of looks like he's like wearing makeup. You know right. What I mean?
And so, yeah, it's the lighting and all that kind of stuff.
Well, to your friend Charlie. You see Charlie? Well, yeah, sure, I see him. Don't you? No. You better get your friend some help, you know?
That's really. A lot of this stuff just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it's funny, but it's like you're talking to somebody you don't see.
Yeah.
And then you're communicating. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll play through.
Willie the Waiver. That's what everybody called me anyway. No, wait just a minute now. You mean you don't see him? Of course not. He's not there. But I don't mind if you see him.
You were the one that was talking to him.
Well, of course I was, because he's the only person I got to talk to. He's my friend. But you've got Jonathan there. He's your friend. You see, that's why I was kind of surprised when you were talking to Charlie. What's that? Yeah. Charlie said he's a little bit surprised, too. But he doesn't mind if you talk to him. That's fine with him. It's Charlie's a very easygoing kind of a guy. He's used to all kinds.
So this is what I started. Can. All right. So Jonathan is there or isn't there?
He is there because Willie was like, well, you have Jonathan there to talk to. I don't have anybody. So he can see Jonathan.
But he's almost but implying actually, that it's like that's his imaginary friend.
No, I mean, yeah, but I thought that he was visible. Yeah
me too. It's a weird scene.
I do think it is kind of, you know, funny. And I do kind of, I mean, because like, you know, Jonathan was kind of giving Mark kind of a hard time before and obviously kind of making him look like the crazy one when he was kind of like, oh, look at that, you know, guy over there being all crazy talking to nobody. Right. And then we have Mark in this scene who I guess he's thinking he's being nice by starting to talk to the imaginary friend, and then it's kind of like totally backfires on him because then the homeless guy is like, well, you're like totally crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of funny because you know, sometimes like I don't know if you've done it, I know I've done it, or if you've like seen people do it, kind of like what they think is like the thing that you would be like, oh, this would be being nice, is like actually like not really nice. You know, like it doesn't really end up being like the maybe nice thing that like you thought it was,
right? You get caught up in that moment.
You were saying you wanted to tell something to that guy in the paper.
Oh, Melvin Rich. Yeah, I sure would.
What do you want to tell him?
That
I want 10 wishes.
I tell him... I tell him... I tell him... Be nice.
So that's the crux of it. I mean, so they're going to grant him this wish. Well, I think this is kind of funny when he says lunchtime is over.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, enough loafing around. I gotta get back to work.
Well, lunchtime is over. Time to get back to my waving.
See you later. Squirrel's like, what?
Yeah, see you later.
That is one chunky squirrel.
Yeah, that's like somebody's pet squirrel. So yeah, they basically are going to get him to come down and do what they have to do. It's always funny where Mark is like, well, if you think that's going to happen, it's like, do you know the show?
Yeah, well, it's just season one.
Yeah, it is only season one.
One of our, like, yeah.
Melvin Rich. Take a look at this. Man's president of Tricor Industries, the richest man to ever run for mayor. Should be easy enough.
Mayor?
What's that?
Well, his wish. All we gotta do is get this Melvin Rich to come down to the park so Willie can say, be nice.
Jonathan, you are absolutely crazy if you think this rich guy is gonna come down here to the park and talk to some flipped out moon man who sits around talking to invisible people. I mean, this guy is a lunatic. He's talking to himself and, I was talking to a friend. It was he was here a second ago. I better go.
You should have let out a big belch there. Burp. Let's see. We go into the office. I thought this at first. I thought this was going to be the guy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because I don't know what this guy's role really is.
I think he's maybe kind of, I don't know if you call him a secretary exactly, yeah, but like some sort of like, yeah, assistant or something.
One thing I kind of noticed in this episode is how close they stand to people. Like, look how they kind of violate the personal space. I don't know if you're like that, where it's like, you like to have a little bit of space. Yeah. It's,
right.
Watch how close they are. Look at this. I mean, I would literally say, you're right. You're back.
Well,
up.
And it's crazy too because they're clearly in the middle of something.
Yeah, right.
Like, he and this woman, right? They're like looking at something. They're like in the middle of something.
It's like if it's yeah. A
what is this? A library?
Would you keep your voice down, please? This is an office, not a bowling alley.
No. One thing I don't understand is like, there's not one book. Why is he saying it's a library? Just because it's quiet?
And then it would be, if they wanted to have made this like a comedy show, there are so many little things they could have done. Like Jonathan could have been like, oh, well, then why is there a bowling alley, right? You know, like he right. could have like turned around and there's like a lane there or something.
Or they could have just kind of brought a bowling ball in.
Yeah. I feel like if we had made the show, it would have been more like that.
Would have been a lot of ding. Wouldn't have gone past the pilot, maybe.
We'd like to see Mr. Rich.
Would you?
Yeah. My name.
Would you?
Name no, I just made that up. I guess you're right. I don't want to.
Jonathan Smith, I'm an angel. I usually don't tell people that, but I figured I'd get right to the point, save us some time.
Well, I appreciate your candor. And pray tell, who are you, Tinkerbell?
I'm Mark Gordon. I'm with him.
I see. Well, if you'll just wait over there, someone will be right with you.
Thanks very much.
Code red. Code red.
Jonathan. What you're telling the guy you're an angel for?
Because that's what I am.
And nobody's gonna think you're nuts.
Well, of course he does. He's calling security right now to get us thrown out.
All right, guys, we're leaving peaceably.
They can't see us here.
Three security guys. Where are they? Look at that crazy phone. Don't you want that? Yeah. Don't you want to own that? It's like so cool. I don't know what it does, but it's crazy looking.
Yeah, I think the one side, I guess, like for has a big speaker, I guess, for like speakerphone. I don't know. It's probably super high tech, you know?
Yeah. It's probably just a two-line phone.
Well, they were right there.
What kind of crazy painting is he in front of, by the way?
The elevator. Let's go.
Yes, I hear it.
Where are they?
That thing?
Like, I can tell that those are, like, people's legs and feet.
Big-ass feet.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm looking at. It's kind of distracting.
Those are the kind of feet that Charles Ingalls would have in Christmas and Plum Creek. No, the Christmas They Never Forgot, where he walks on 30 feet of snow.
Oh, right.
Well, they were right there.
So, essentially, they sneak into Rich's, and it's the only time we see him smiling, really, is...
Right.
It would have been funny if it was like really bad news, but I guess maybe that's the headline that we saw before where he's going to like cut stuff. He's like,
I love cutting stuff.
I love it.
Who are you two? What are you doing in here?
He can see us? Well, of course he can. How are we going to talk to him if he can't see us or hear us?
There's similar paintings in the background.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Fisk, call security. I've got two lunatics in my office.
You're wasting your time, Mr. Riss. They won't be able to see us.
Throw them out.
Yes, sir. Take them out, fellas.
Hey!
It's so funny. So they can see him.
And, yeah.
But it's weird. Like,
pretty funny.
He thinks he's having a nervous breakdown.
That's right, Tinkerbell.
What about the other one? Throw him out as well.
What other one?
This one right here, you cretin.
Oh, they can't see me.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first.
The absurd, of course they can.
Who can?
You can.
Can what, sir? They can't hear me either.
They can't?
Who can't?
You can't.
Can't what, sir? They think you're crazy.
They do?
Who do?
You do.
Do what, sir?
Think I'm
crazy. Wouldn't do to have them think you're crazy. You're running for mayor.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first.
Jeez.
But I like the kind of banter that we get in this episode. I think it's pretty funny, actually. It's pretty entertaining.
It's a nice throwback. It's like a throwback to like Abbott and Costello type of stuff that Michael Landon was a really big fan of.
We kind of don't. This actually is a little like we were just kind of talking about how like they kind of, you know, maybe didn't make the show like funny, really. Like, you know, they kind of wanted it to be taken a little bit more seriously. But this episode is, in particular, is kind of a little bit more funny than, we get a lot on this show.
And I think Ned Beatty, it's funny, I called Ned Beatty Lex Luthor, but he's not Lex Luthor. He's like Lex Luthor's sidekick in Superman. And it's like, he's basically the comic relief of, did you ever see the 1977 Superman?
I did not.
What? All right, you guys. What? Right after, like, Spinal Tap, you gotta watch that.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, you gotta add it to the list.
Oh, my friend.
Let go of his friend.
Whose friend?
Let him go and get out of here.
Yes, sir.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
It makes no sense.
I'm having a nervous breakdown. That's what it is.
No, that isn't what it is. You see, Mr. Rich, I am an angel.
You're both angels. Oh, no.
So, of course, so he's like, no, only he is. He cancels all of his plans for the day and sits down in the chair, but they won't let him get up.
We're just having a slight breakdown. Nothing major, nothing we can handle. Just go home and lie down for a while.
This is like every day, end of the work day.
Right. It's all right. Like, you get into your car, you're like, all right.
I'm just having a slight breakdown. It's okay.
Rich, I'm afraid I can't let you go home. Not until you promise to come to the park with us.
Good thing you don't have a Tesla. You do like the self-driving thing and just cry your way home.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Pretty visual, but they won't let him out of the chair until he agrees. It's a cute little gag. They take the 1980s limo, which is always funny to see, to the park.
Hey, Charlie, our friends are back.
Hey, Willie, there's somebody I'd like you to meet. Mr. Rich, this is Willie the Waver. Willie, this is the Mr. Rich from the newspaper.
Yeah, so it is.
Well, go on. You wanted to tell him
the
something.
Way he waves is so odd.
Yeah,
he's just sort of like flapping his hand up and down. Like, who waves like that?
Willie
like,
the Waver.
He's like a little. Yeah, he's like a little T-Rex.
He's like a with one arm.
And I'd appreciate it if you'd be quick about it, Mr. Rich. Be nice. be nice?
Yeah, that's the whole ball of wax.
This is like when people send us messages about being mean to Dr. Mike.
Fictional characters. Yeah.
That's the message.
Well, yeah, but think about it.
And this is like somebody else coming in to like support what they're saying. Then we just ban them both. You're both out of here.
I mean, you're not very nice. You've got no compassion for people. You want to take away what little they've got. You want to close the shelters, the soup kitchens. You want to pave over the parks, put in oil wells instead of beaches.
So it's, you know, it becomes like everything he's done wrong in life, and no one's perfect, I guess. One of my favorite things, maybe we should clip this for the future, is his response about being nice.
Choice has already been made. Nice is for nerds.
Nice is for nerds. Yeah, I don't know. So they do the classic switcheroo, like, what was that movie with Lindsay Lohan? Didn't they do one of those?
Parent Trap?
Yeah, like where they swap. Yeah.
Well, that though well, was no, not that like wasn't they were swapping swap, right? Bodies. They were like actually just swapping. Like they actually just switched places. Like not like with bodies, but
it
like,
might not be with Lindsay Lohan. I know it's, but there's a classic swap that is out there.
Yeah, there is like the Parent Trap, which there is a remake with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in the original one, but
Big is a good example of a swap.
Ah, right.
There you go. Have you seen Big? I'm just kidding.
I have seen Big.
I know
Big.
You have. Yeah. Everyone has. So they do the classic switcheroo.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned how, like, this is another recurring, like, thing that kind of happens on the show.
We actually had reviewed that episode, I guess, for Walnut Grovecast. Mm-hmm. Ish, right? Like, it's like, it was like an extension of Wanna Grovecast.
I think it ended up on this podcast. If not, it should.
But anyway, yeah. So, like, in that case, it's when Mark switches bodies with that actress. Mm-hmm. And then that, of course, has like, that actually is like kind of a comedic episode.
I think it's pretty good. His manner, I think also Victor French acting like a woman is kind of fun to watch. You know, the way his mannerisms are.
Well, because he's normally kind of such a like burly man.
Yeah.
That is kind of funny.
They're realizing that they've been swapped, and Melvin is like feeling his beard. He runs over to this woman.
Let me see that for a moment, will you?
Don't you normally stand in the park with your compact, just admiring yourself? She looks like she's taking a selfie or something.
Just a minute, you're not trying to mug me, are you? I'm warning you, I've had self-defense
training. Don't be absurd, just give me this, will you?
Ah! Police!
It's so funny. I didn't realize Ned Beatty was as, I guess, physical of a comic. I really should look into like more of his stuff. I don't really know too much of him outside of like his more serious roles. Let's see, a cop comes over after the woman called, and he's like, good old Willie.
This is Willie the waiver. I've known this guy for years. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Now, what's this all about?
It'd be funny if he just punches the cop right in the gut.
Right? Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up, you.
Amazon attacked me.
Calls her an Amazon.
Which is like hilarious.
And then refers to her later as a beautiful young woman.
Well, he tried to steal my compact.
I simply asked to see myself.
I'm sure it was just a misunderstanding, man.
I can clear all this up, officer.
By the way, just stealing a compact, is that really worth, like, whacking someone over? I don't know. Just throw that out there.
Well, maybe it was expensive. Yeah, it was a Tiffany's mirror or something.
I'm J. Melvin Rich. I have sufficient identification.
I also don't believe that she could strike him so hard that he does basically a flip.
Yeah.
Two. He stole my wallet. My credit cards.
The cop's like laughing like it's a comedy show.
Sure, Willie, sure. I told you this is really harmless.
Well, harmless or not, they ought to keep these people off the street.
That's exactly what I have been saying in my campaign. This lovely young woman is exactly right. And if you will vote for me, madam, I can assure you.
All right. All right, I won't press charges. He's nutty as a fruitcake.
Nutty as a fruitcake. It's something Harriet would say. Nutty as a fruitcake.
Yeah.
Let's see. Willie realizes that he's Mr. Rich. And I like that Ned Beatty is like showing like his acting chops, acting very differently with each character.
Not even with an angel.
Willie, there's nothing to pull off.
I mean, this is just a chance for Mr. Rich to see what it's like to be Willie the Waver for a while. And a chance for you to see what it's like being Mr. Rich. Except for one difference.
What's that?
That you can be nice without having to change.
And you can hook up with his wife.
Yeah. I mean, that is actually kind of, I was thinking
it's kind of a weird scene.
A few days ago, I thought it was kind of weird. And I was like, this is actually like a very like direct, like, implication of like sexual stuff. Right. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Like for this show, like it's pretty direct. I was kind of like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're basically talking, he gets to the limo.
He thinks I'm Mr. Rich.
What?
Oh, he can't see me or hear me.
Oh, do I sound like Mr. Rich?
I suppose. I don't know. You've never really spoken to me before, sir.
I haven't.
No, sir. Usually you just say office or home. I should say this is the most...
I'd like to have an employee where I don't have to actually talk. You just do your job. Nice.
Spoken in 10 years, sir.
10 years?
Would you like to go home now, sir?
Oh, I sure would. But I guess you better take me to Rich's house instead.
That's pretty funny.
Let's see. The real Mr. Rich tries to get into his building, and the security's like, no, no, no.
You're a fool. I am J. Melvin Rich.
Oh, yeah? And I'm Johnny Carson. I'm just doing this in the daytime for pocket money.
Very funny.
Very funny. Very funny. That's actually a decent clip, too.
Don't be a fool. Funny. I am J. Melvin Rich.
What? Oh, yeah.
And I'm Johnny Carson. I'm just doing this in the daytime for pocket money.
Very funny.
Well, look, I'm trying to be nice, so why don't you just move on?
So he runs and he gets in there. Look, did you notice how the security guard throws him? I mean, like he physically picked him up and
That is actually a pretty crazy thing to do.
He goes into the local mercantile to get a razor and shaving cream, and the woman's like, it's the cheapest one. She's being nice. She's helping him.
He would need more than just a razor for that, right? Wouldn't he have to kind of like cut it off?
If you spend the time, I guess you can dig through it. But
stop it!
Seems like a lot of labor.
It does, but what's he doing? You know? Outside of his waving.
Yeah, that's true. I guess he has the time,
His breaks. Yeah, he could do it on one of his lunch breaks. Then we got Baby Ruth candy bar. Anything else interesting on this little... I think some old school Chef Boyardee up here.
Ooh.
Very tasty.
Yeah, actually, that does look like Chef Boyardee.
Right? Huh. And Barbasol, which I think I have a can of from when I was like 14. Gerber something cereal right there.
Oh, probably like the like rice cereal.
Doesn't look like it says maybe rice or it says something cereal. I don't know. So he runs out and runs into this thing. In the notes, I didn't know what to call this thing. I've seen them everywhere and like every city has them. It's like some big metal box that controls the lights.
It
always makes clicks.
What is it's like some like electricity box or something.
Like I don't know, maybe a switcher box. I don't know. So he runs into it. Like there's a lot of times where he's like falling and running into things. He's still kind of, you know, figuring out what to do in this situation.
Ooh, free manure.
Yeah, I was like,
manure. It's a good thing. Remember George on his date? He's like, manure.
It's a... manure. Manure. Yeah, it's so funny. So he's talking to the limo driver.
Well, sir, you've never seen fit.
Well, I seem pretty fit now, don't I? What do you think, Jonathan?
My name is Jameson, sir, and
It's okay.
Yeah, I forgot. Well, what about that raise?
I'd appreciate it very much, sir.
Well, he did steal a case of motor oil from Mr. Rich last month and some spare parts he sold to a friend.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that, son. That's not very nice.
Do what, sir?
Stealing the motor oil or spare parts.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Rich.
He only did it because Mr. Rich docked him a week's pay for getting a dent in the car.
Oh, yeah, well, that's different.
You believe me, then?
No, I don't. Angels don't lie.
Well, I'm no angel, but I didn't...
How much did you get for them spare...
So, he stole some stuff, and he's going to make him pay it back, and he's going to give him the raise. I don't fully agree with this, you know, right here, this type of thing. But, I mean, your argument is that the lesson is also about the rich guy being stingy and giving him a raise so that he doesn't have to do this. But
yeah, well, and then there's, like, the kind of, like, he docked his paycheck, I guess, for getting the dent in the car, which was why he then had to, I guess, like, had, like, maybe in quotes, cause you, of course, could make the argument that he didn't have to do it. But
yeah.
I guess that's what led him, you know, to do the stealing.
He's like,
I wouldn't say he's necessarily getting off scot-free, though, because he doesn't have to pay him back. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's still that.
But there's also no, he also gets a prize at the end. You know, he does, not a prize, but he gets the raise that maybe he should have gotten a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's just, I don't like the whole idea of, well, he had to do it. It's like, well, you didn't have to work there, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, he apparently has been working there for a decade, which is, like, a really long time to... Yeah.
To not
be, like, driving the guy around. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to not get a raise, right? But then also I'm like, that's like a really long time to, like, stay in this job of driving this guy around, where it's like, I feel like you probably could have gotten that job for somebody else or maybe a different job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, in a decade's time. But I mean, that's like a long time to do that job, which appears to have been very thankless and very low paying. So then it's kind of like, what is your motivation for doing this job?
Yeah. So he goes into that really beautiful house.
Oh, no, thanks. Right.
Very well, thank you, sir. Would you like your smoking jacket, sir?
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Smoking jacket.
Oh, no, thanks. I kicked that habit years ago. Got tired of scrounging around for the butts, you know?
You see Jonathan's face. Yeah, he's like,
he's like, yeah, I like to throw my butts on the ground. Wish I had a butt right now. Speaking of butts, look at that flat butt.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of butts, where is it?
He should just wear a longer coat.
He's triangular shaped.
Now this is like super 80s looking to me. Like this.
Yeah, the whole house and everything. All the decor.
Yeah, like those...
And the floor and the wicker, everything.
Yeah. It sure beats a park bench, don't it? Oh, hi, how you doing?
Well, you're speaking to me.
Imagine, like, all right, so it's you and your husband, right? You just go, hey, how you doing? What's wrong with you?
Well, in the context of that we are normal and communicate to each other all the time,
no,
it would probably be really funny. But, like, yeah, if it's, like, something like this, I'd be like, what the hell?
You have to, this should be both of us. We should later on say this to our significant others right here.
Hey.
Right
here. How are you doing?
You work here too.
Yeah.
It sure beats a park bench, don't it? Oh, hi, how you doing?
Well, you're speaking to me.
Yeah, you work here too?
You work here too.
That is one of the most insulting things you've ever said to me.
Rich's wife.
Oh, gee, I wish you'd said something before.
Said something before? I've tried to say things to you I gave up years ago.
Oh, she's a little looking for a fight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things you want to say. His face. Yeah. So he just says, like, a few little things, and it basically triggers her to fall in love with him?
Which is totally crazy, because apparently...
It's all sad.
Like, they have been totally, like, basically estranged but in the same house for years, so I have to believe that it would take more than a couple of sentences to get her to just, like, fall head over heels. And then they, like, is it this scene or the next one with her, when it's like, oh, I always wanted a family and, like, never had one? And I almost expected the show to be like,
let's adopt.
Let's try having, or even like, oh, let's try having a baby, because it's like they look too old for it, but I kind of wouldn't put it past the show either, because, you know, they're doing things that are a little crazy.
I mean, I think they both look older than late 40s, but
it's my opinion. Do, I agree, but I don't know how old they're supposed to be, but I think that they look like they would be past the, you know,
middle age.
Yeah.
See, you
past middle age a little.
Think you know me, but you don't, and I don't really know you either.
It's us to our podcast listeners.
Yeah. There are actually a lot of things in this that are like pretty clip worthy.
Oh, Melvin. Now I don't know what to say. You don't know how long I've wanted to talk to you like this, how long I've waited to talk to you like this. I've been so lonely in this house.
So calling her Lottie was essentially the trigger, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, because I guess he must have called her that, like, maybe when they were dating or newly married, kind of before they kind of, like, went their separate ways.
So
30 years.
Oh, here we go.
You mind if I call you that? No.
Wait. You're the one who won't try.
Look, lady.
Will you stop calling me that?
That's what you have to do. Pete has to call you lady.
Lady.
Have you been drinking?
Her name's Carlotta.
Carlotta, you mind if I call you that? No.
Yes, you lady.
I haven't been drinking.
I don't want to argue with you.
Call her Lottie.
Lottie?
And that just reminds me of this. I just have to play it.
You know what? Lottie Dottie.
This is like their wedding song.
Lottie. Lottie. You know what? Yo, peep this. La-di-da-di. We like the party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody.
That's, of course, by the wonderful Dougie Fresh from my childhood. All right, but that's enough of that.
Lottie.
I should have clipped it to play every single time.
You haven't called me Lottie in 30 years.
Look,
I mean, so they're probably at least like in their 50s, right?
Well, if we're going to go by his actual age, I mean, he is 48 in real life. I mean, he would
be. Oh, well, right. But 18. I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, yeah, like these characters. Yeah. You know, they're probably like, I would say at least 50.
Yeah. But let's just say, like, your whole marriage starts falling apart when you're 20. Yeah. And 3 decades goes by. And you're like, jeez. So they basically have this whole like moment where,
yes, let's savor every moment. Oh, Melvin,
who knew that he could repair an entire relationship in 3 minutes, right?
Right, yeah, it's amazing.
They're still trying to break into the manor. This is a compound, I would say. This is a fair compound,
yeah, totally. A compound.
I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. You saw yourself what happened back there.
Keep your hands off me, you idiot. This is my home. Do you think my own staff doesn't know my voice?
You're not the law.
Wait a minute. You can't go in there.
Take your hands off me, you idiot. The person that you drove up here is a bum.
All right, let's go.
Take your hands off of me.
You're not the law. I'm the law.
And the law does win.
Fired.
It throws
all right,
him.
I tried to be reasonable.
Yeah, there's a lot of throwing people
into manure. In
yeah.
And if you
there
show
are ferns
your...
for you.
I'm surprised
Did
we didn't
see the ferns.
Say it again.
Did you see the ferns?
Oh yeah, look at that. That means they're
as he threw them, you got a really good.
Get your hands off of me.
And look at those ferns.
See, you're fired.
All right, I tried to be reasonable.
You know, I wonder, maybe Michael Landon owned like a fern farm.
Fern farm?
And he was like, this is just the way he would make extra money. He would supply ferns for all of his productions.
And if you show your face around here again, you'll be spending the night in jail.
I was surprised we didn't get like a Back to the Future thing where like
right.
spits it out and goes, manure. That'd be kind of funny.
Manure.
They go to the mission for some grub. And
but we've handed out our meals for the day. With the budget cutbacks and all, we just can't feed all of you.
It'd be kind of great if she was eating a sandwich.
You don't know how sorry I am.
But this is preposterous.
We're hungry. You can't turn hungry people away. How will we eat?
Try telling that to Melvin Rich. I'm sorry.
Vote smarter, so, people.
What I'm a little bit confused about with the mission, so they appear to get money like from the city, but also like in the sign in the back, like I saw Jesus on there. So it's like, are you like a church? Because generally churches like are not getting like government funding.
Right.
So I'm not really sure what the deal with this is.
Yeah, I don't know how. Yeah, like if it's a church.
Or I mean, maybe church... or maybe like in the 80s. If I mean, I know that like today, like churches are not supposed to be. Why can I not think of the word? Like. Is it like exempt or something from taxes? Or
no,
there's
the
like
churches
some like
are
tax
exempt.
Or but like isn't it like I think they're like not supposed to be like there are like certain like restrictions or whatever, I guess.
I'm sure there's some
the
restrictions,
status.
But I would imagine like a mission like this or like a homeless shelter or something like that would have some funding even back then from the state or the federal government.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare nowadays to back then too, but even though like it, you know, San Diego is pretty much just as bad off today as it was back then, according to the show anyway. So they talk about a place to sleep.
I mean, I have to do this, but they don't have some kind of voodoo.
This is where he kind of refers to them as animals here.
Well, look at this. Even animals live under better conditions than these.
Whose fault is that?
Well, these people. I mean, I have to do this, but they don't have some kind of voodoo curse on them. They could get jobs.
Oh, really? What kind of a job do you think you could get dressed like that? I mean, you think you could run for mayor?
Oh, my Lord. The campaign debate.
So this is where he learns that it's going to be Willie the Waver who's going to be at the debate tomorrow. And it's kind of funny here we get...
a little wave.
Yeah, the little...
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, you're going to show up, but it's not going to be you.
You don't mean.
Yes, I do.
So it's going to be Willie the Waver doing the speech or, you know, the debate, which is, I thought this was going to go somewhere else. And I think it could have been a little bit better. So what we end up getting is this debate where he basically, Willie the Waver endorses the other candidate. But in the movie, in the Chaplin movie, The Great Dictator, I don't know if you've seen that. I do. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. It came out in 1941, and it's really it's a comedy, but it's the last time that the tramp would be on screen by Chaplin, and he speaks, and that's, you know, kind of it. So he basically swaps. The tramp is like a homeless vagrant, and he swaps roles with a Hitler character. You know, basically, the movie's a big F you to, you know, Hitler back then, which was really ballsy, of course. And it's played by the same character, and they look alike, of course. So the tramp takes the role of Hitler, or him, I forget the name of the character in the movie, but he goes and he gives this speech to the world, you know, as the dictator. And it's a very serious speech. And, you know, I recommend everybody go to YouTube and look up Great Dictator Speech. It's a really great speech saying how he doesn't want to be a dictator. And he gives up. He basically says he does the entire reverse. And he basically, instead of, like, you know, destroying everyone. Because also the movie was made when before there was a lot of knowledge about, like, the what was going on in Germany.
Right.
But it's just a really, really interesting thing. And I thought they were going to go there with this because Ned Beatty, being such a, he is a comedic actor, but he also has a real serious side. He really could have pulled it off. And I was really disappointed to just see they did kind of the, I hate to say it, but the cheap way out. I think it really would have been more impactful for him to go and make these campaign promises that the other guy would not be able to like backpedal out of. You know, that's it.
Right.
Yeah. That's end of my film appreciation moment.
By the way, I was just looking at the justice.gov website about the churches getting federal funding or religious organizations, because I was saying that they could not get it at all. But apparently, well, so like the government doesn't like give funds to religious organizations, but religious organizations could apply for.
So maybe there's grants. I mean, if they're doing humanitarian efforts for like homeless people and stuff.
So I guess is kind of the thing. They probably like applied for a grant. Well, this is assuming that it was the same in like the 80s as it is now, which I don't know if that's the case. But yeah. I suppose, right, if they're doing kind of a regular thing where they're like feeding homeless people, they maybe apply for a grant or whatever, and then I guess Melvin Rich cut funds so that the grants maybe went away, or that would make sense.
So the Riches are by the fire. He has his turntable on. He's like, we have Jonathan. Yeah. So we have Jonathan in the background.
That just like seems really creepy.
It's so
weird. I know that it's like we can't see him, but it's like he's just sitting there watching. Oh, we can
see him, all right.
Yeah, well, we can, right? But we're not supposed to, or like we're supposed to believe he's invisible. But it's just is weird.
I think it's weird.
So, Willie, how do you feel?
Nice, nice and cozy.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I wouldn't be so comfortable in that suit, personally. Throw on some PJs or something. Get the tie off.
Yeah, sure beats standing over a trash can out in the park.
That's romantic language.
Sure beats hunting through a bag of garbage looking for toilet paper. Like, just come up with more and more disgusting things to say.
I suppose it does.
Sure beats looking for smoking butts.
Always wanted a family. I guess you get used to being alone.
Jonathan back there taking selfies and posting to Instagram.
You don't realize what you miss until you see what other people got and they just let it go to waste.
Oh, Melvin. I always wanted a family too.
You should be eating a steak back there or something. Should be doing something as I'm just watching them. It's so weird.
Well, maybe he's keeping an eye on them. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I suppose maybe. I mean, okay, so what if, because this is still not Melvin Rich, right? And we know that his wife, like, really wants to jump his bones, basically.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first.
So, is he kind of chaperoning to make sure that, like, it doesn't get out of hand? Because I'm sure that he doesn't actually want the homeless guy to be, like, you know. I don't know. But I think it's, okay, so also, like, this, so this marriage, I guess, is being reconciled and fixed and everything. I find it unbelievable, of course, that after like 30 years of estrangement or whatever, that suddenly, like, you know, in a day, after a couple sentences, it's fixed. Mm-hmm. But like, what makes it even more unbelievable, this whole conversation where it's like, she's all like, oh, I always wanted a family too. And you said you didn't want to. And it's just like, so... think about, like, actually what a pretty, like, rotten marriage they've been living. God. Like, because it's, like, the way that they were treating each other, like, the marriage was just totally, like, estranged, like, sleeping in separate bedrooms, which, I mean, some people, I guess, do that just because, you know, they have reasons. It's not always a bad thing. But, obviously, in this case, it's because they're, like, merely existing in the same house, and they have, like, no connection.
Yeah.
And she always wanted a family, which he, you know, denied. And then, so it's like, you have this crappy marriage. You always wanted a family. Now you are obviously past your childbearing years. So, like, you just never have an opportunity. It's like, you spent your whole life in this really crappy marriage where you, like, don't even get what you want from it ever at all. And now you're, like, being reconciled, but it's too late.
It's awful.
Even to, like, you know, get something like that. Like, it's just, like, how do you get over that in like a day?
You don't,
like, it's
you
just
don't.
Like, this is like, no, like, this is not how it works.
It is literally like a marriage of convenience. And it's just this. I think it's like heartbreaking that she wants something and she can, you know, you're just not gonna be able to achieve it unless you're gonna go and adopt somebody, which, you know, maybe they should have. Maybe they could have chosen a younger couple and had that type of storyline. Right. But yeah, I don't. It's sad, I think, yeah.
But you were the one who said you didn't.
And also, I mean, she kind of chose money over her, you know, to have a family. So,
yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Well, and I mean, yeah, and I guess because we don't also have, like, the whole story, too. We know that their marriage is just, like, rotten, but, I mean, she stayed there for all those years, and I guess we don't really know.
It's just,
I mean, like, she didn't leave.
And she's also falling in love with somebody who's accidentally saying the right stuff. And this is not even the right, same person. Like,
yeah.
So she's falling in love with somebody just because he's, like, being nice to her.
Yeah.
It's really
well, and then sad. It's like, so then I guess when the actual Melvin Rich comes back and it's all like, oh, my marriage is, like, fixed now.
Right.
But then it's like, does the actual Mr. Rich, like, would he give a crap? Like, no. I mean, like, realistically speaking, because it's like, he apparently has treated her like garbage for, like, all these years. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's stretching it. I know, like, the whole show, like, stretches everything, but...
I was thinking that he's going to go right back to the way he was, like, in a year from now. A year from now,
yeah,
all these people are going to get fired because they're all, like, being loose with him.
And right.
He'll wonder why the limo driver is making $10 too much.
Hey, people make mistakes.
You've never admitted that before. I'm so happy with you tonight.
Hey, Willie, you got that debate tomorrow. You gotta get some rest.
I forgot you were there, you creepo. Scared the hell out of me.
Why can't it last longer?
But it can, darling. Let's lie awake, holding each other all night long.
Can't do that, Willie. This is only temporary, you know that, so do I.
This is my new wish.
Hey, just imagine, like, if, just imagine, like, you're cuddling with your spouse and you just have trouble back there, like.
Don't touch that. You can't do that, Kelly.
I can't do that. Not tonight. I'm sorry.
I had a burrito. So let's see, we go, what are they yelling? I mean, I'm not really 100% sure. Maybe I'll pick it up now. No Rich,
yeah.
So they're going in, he's like, I'm Mr. Rich, and he's like, yeah, okay, we've heard this before. And we get to the debate. Jonathan's just standing there.
Yeah.
I like that the debate moderator is... His name is Jonathan.
I think, of course, it works perfectly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Through the city.
Right.
Thank you. I would like to ask Mr. Rich if he doesn't think it's strange that every highway construction bill he pushed through the city council wound up going to his own company, Tricor Construction.
Does sound pretty fishy, doesn't it? What do you think, Jonathan?
Then of course, like, the way that he is, like, conducting himself in the debate is kind of pretty hilarious. And it's like, why does nobody, like, pick up on it? But it's like, he's just acting like this really, like, curious. Like, he almost has, like, a childlike persona, like, as he's going about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, and of course, as he's experiencing his life, it's like, all of this is, like, he's experiencing it for the first time for him, right? Because it's not his life. But it's just really funny because he's just kind of standing there like, oh, wow. Like, it's this, like, look on his face, you know?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Rich. That's up to you.
Also, it would be called into question why he's asking the moderator for advice.
That was pretty funny.
You imagine that happening in the past year with all these debates and everything with the president, and it's like
just like ask the moderator for
advice. You have Donald Trump go, Jim, what do you think? What do you think I should say?
Tricorp bought the votes.
Well, there you have it, see? Tricorp bought the votes.
I don't believe it.
Hey, Rich just admitted that his company bought votes on the city council.
I think I'm going to vomit.
That's a good line, too. Yeah. That's right up there with that's terrible.
That's Bonanza. Yeah, that's the most terrible thing I've ever heard. Vomit. Do
I
have
that? I am going to vomit.
Listen, I think I can save everybody a lot of time here. I've been reading quite a bit about the Sturgis fella, and he seems pretty good to me. I mean, he seems like an honest fella, too. Don't you think, Jonathan?
I
have to put that terrible thing back, but I do have Caroline saying it.
That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
Mind you, Mr. Rich, it's your opinion we want here.
Oh. In my opinion... this Sturgis fella here is an honest fella. You make a pretty good mayor, and That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And, everybody should go home now.
Yeah.
he directs his next comment directly to Lottie, who's...
So I would vote for him if I were you folks.
Jonathan, can I just say one more thing?
You're on a roll, man. Why stop now?
Okay. I just want to say...
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
What?
Yeah, he's just like...
My letter is T. My sound...
All right, so we got to just discuss this TV for 5 seconds. Like, this thing is like a dream TV right here.
This amazing.
Like, I mean, it looks like a whole stereo in the top left.
Yeah.
And then he's got like the oldest VCR in the world. Like that.
They're well equipped.
Yeah. And I mean, they have a curtain behind it for some reason.
Are you watching?
Is he waiting for a response?
I just want to tell you that last night was the most beautiful night of my life. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
What did he do with my wife?
Well, that's it. So, goodbye, folks. Have a nice day.
My letter is T.
It's literally Abel running for mayor.
Keep smiling.
Keep smiling. And all right, so what are they yelling here? Just rich? Get rich?
Get rich?
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's it. So, goodbye, folks. Have a nice day. Keep smiling.
The mob. Not as far as I thought it would be. Like 15 people out there. So let's see. He goes to sneak in to the mansion again. Rings the doorbell. The butler comes and he slides in.
Now, before you call the police, just listen to me.
The police, sir?
Yes.
The police, sir?
That guy's awesome.
Sir. Yeah. You call me, sir?
Of course, sir.
So, yeah, they all come clapping, and, yeah, we get this, like, the wink.
Thank you, I suppose. Where is Mrs. Rich?
She's upstairs, sir, waiting for you. In your bedroom, sir.
In my bedroom? What's she doing in my bedroom? She's got a bedroom of her own.
I believe she's waiting to give you a surprise, sir. She's ordered dinner to be served upstairs.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the scene where I, too, is kind of like, this is very, like, directly sexual for this show. Like, it's kind of surprising that they would just be so, like, direct about it.
Well, even in this, I mean, goes up there and she literally jumps him.
What in God's name?
Melvin.
Clutter, what are you... Carlotta, have you gone mad?
Yes, mad for you.
All it took was building a fire and saying two or three nice things.
Yeah, that was better than standing over a trash can.
Carlotta, I don't know what to say.
You've
never behaved like this, not even when we were courting.
Because I never realized what a wonderful man I was lucky enough to have. Oh, Melvin, I'm going to make you the happiest man in the world. Besides...
I already am the happiest man in the world.
That kiss was just returning the one you gave me last night. And you never kissed me like that, either.
You kissed that bum.
I thought you were worse than a bum. But last night, you proved me wrong.
Last night.
What did you do to my wife? Seriously, it's kind of like what we're... I don't know.
Well, and actually, he almost seems like the kind of person who would not even care.
Right.
Like, if his wife had an affair or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I mean, I guess there are people who would still be like, but it's like mine, she's mine or whatever. Right. But I could kind of see him just being like, not really caring. I mean, well, apparently he didn't care about her at all.
Not to be mean or, you know, show like a lack of morals here, but under these conditions of 30 years of, you know, kind of barely speaking to each other, I wouldn't really blame her either.
Right. I mean, it's like kind of thing where it's like, I mean, you maybe won't exactly say it's right, but
no.
You would kind of be like, I mean, I kind of get where you're coming from.
Yeah. We learned that he's the most popular person in town now. And all he has to do is pay a fine, basically. He has to admit it and pay a fine, which I think, again, this is, I'm not trying to get soapboxy here, but, you know, it's kind of the way corporations are. You just, you know, most people go to jail for these type of things, but he just gets to pay the fine. There you go. And I wonder if that's like, was that lost on Michael Landon, being that he was so wealthy at this point, where you know, like if you were to, Willie, for instance, if he did something as, you know, illegal as this guy had done, he would go to jail. But this guy's just able to get off and live his life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't talk bad about Michael Landon. So let's see. Willie's back to being a bum.
Angel, literally.
Rich is happy that he's not a bum anymore. And Willie's kind of like missing not being a bum, which I would imagine most people would.
So it's back to being a bum again, Jonathan.
This is when somebody unsubscribes from our podcast. So I guess it's back to being a bum again.
We're never a bum. Right?
That's like if the selection of people that we've blocked from our groups for various reasons.
Right. Or they kind of sneak in. Like we actually have, what do we have? Like 17 members in the queue right now. I think it's Landon Nation, or maybe it's Dr. Quinn, but they all have the same first name. Not all, but several. And I'm kind of curious. I don't want to decline them because I'm kind of curious what they're up to.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to, you know, when I find a few minutes, maybe on New Year's Eve. Oh, I didn't mean to say what time we're doing this. Actually, this is going to be one of the last recordings. Maybe we could squeeze in another one before the end of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, all right. Anyway.
You forget sometimes how lonely it gets. I mean, you get used to it, and then you see there's another way. It's kind of hard to come back to things the way they were.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's what he sounds like he needs to do right now. Let's hit it.
But the whole death scene actually is pretty crazy, though, because, like, what is he dying from? Because he just spent the last 24 hours, like, walking around, like, cuddling with a woman, like, doing a debate. Mm-hmm. Not that he really debated, but, you know, like, he was doing this stuff, and, like, he seemed fine.
Well, my only argument with that is he was in the other guy's body, right?
So I guess he got the healthy body. But then he was like going around doing stuff too. So.
Maybe is he dying from internal bleeding from being thrown around?
I was just gonna say that because he got
three times. He got physically thrown. Was he
actually murdered?
Multiple head wounds. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a concussion because he's like, I'm so tired. You know, like you're not supposed to go to sleep if you have a concussion.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You could have a brain bleed. Jeez. I didn't even think of that until just now. So our theory is that basically Jonathan got in the way. Jonathan and Rich.
Yeah.
So nobody was throwing him around before.
Right.
Oh, and the woman hit him.
Yeah. In the park. Jonathan is a murderer.
And when he went to steal the shop, when he stole the thing, he ran into that metal switcher. I mean, there have been so many moments where, you can't take it all. Wow.
Hey. What do you think about that?
So he lays down. Actually, I do want to just hear him say he's tired.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should.
I'm not going to go back.
Hey. What do you think about that?
So the tree's blooming. In the beginning, we didn't play it, but you're saying how it's beautiful and how he won't be able to see it. So he knows he's going to die, which I thought was strange.
It's all full of blossoms. Yeah, you're right, Charlie. They're just like snowflakes, except they don't feel cold.
Is Charlie Charles Ingalls?
Yeah, bro, wouldn't that be crazy?
It's nice. Wow.
It's just your typical delusional Little House fan.
Who we love. We love them.
Yeah.
So One Who Walks Quietly Among Us does sound like his Cheyenne name.
Yeah, it could be.
And the moccasin quote, which, like, where he does say that several times throughout the series.
Walk a mile in your moccasins.
Yeah. We are here today to pay tribute to one who walked quietly amongst us. A man.
Oh, amongst us. And she's like in her like royal blue suit.
She almost looks Victorian there. I don't know what's happening.
She looks like she has some bit of a stress relief going on.
What? Joy and happiness into.
She should be pregnant.
That would actually be crazy.
The lives of many people who didn't even know his last name.
It's Waver.
Yeah, right, it's Waver.
Willie the Waver.
W-W.
No saying. You should never judge a man until you walk a mile in his moccasins.
So he basically is like kind of saying all the stuff that we'd expect him. So asks Lottie to take the little covering off. And we get the weirdest monument in memory of Willie the Waver. He was
nice. Yeah, so it's like this hand, and then it just says he was nice. I was like, actually, so when I watched this on Christmas Eve, when I saw that he was nice, I was like, this is what we need to review on Land and Nation, because it's like such a ridiculous sign.
It's the weirdest sign of all time.
And it's like, I get that he would say, like, you know, that he told him to be nice and everything, but it's just like, it is a ridiculous quote to have on the sign.
He was nice. So it's not. So what's weird is Willie the Waver isn't the one who, I mean, he was nice, right? But he was the one who was telling people like to be nice. Quoting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they could have done something else, right? They could have written, be nice, right?
Right, yeah, something like that would be better.
It's equally stupid, right? I don't know. It's a weird monument. And it's like kind of on a pillar. Now, when I watch this, I watch most of this stuff in like 30% quick. And I'm going to play this back. Because if you look in the background, there's somebody walking. Like right about here.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
So I thought he was power walking or something. Wait, I'm just going
to... Gotta get it as steps. Just... That is pretty funny.
And then if you watch it even at double speed, it's even somehow funnier. Maybe he's walking a little dog. I don't know.
Speed walking.
I wonder who that guy is. But that's it. That's the end of our episode.
Yeah, Michael so I thought Mouse. It was a good episode. It was funny. Yeah, I liked. I enjoyed this dive into Highway to Heaven.
It's a good episode.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, definitely a good episode. It's you get a lot of Mark. You get a lot of Jonathan.
Yeah, we get some comedy. I think it was pretty good.
It's not bad. But Kelly, as always, thank you so much. People should head on over to Facebook, Land and Nation. They should subscribe to this podcast. Go to landandnation.com. We also have prairiereview.com, which is something that's It's still a work in progress. It's still a little bumps in the road, but people should definitely check that out. That's kind of like if The Onion were Little House like in the Little Prairie House. Focused.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also, I mean, I've written a couple of highway parodies and mm-hmm. might dive into some other stuff. You know, I just kind of, as I get inspired to get ideas, you know, yeah. kind of churn stuff out. But the majority of it is Little House. But
for now.
There are a couple. I actually do think that my little piece with Jonathan being disappointed that I never got the Beatles as an assignment, I think is actually quite good.
I've been meaning makes me sound to, conceited, but. I've been meaning to read it. I've just, you know, I quit.
No, yeah. It's one of those things that I thought was quite good on multiple levels. But anyway, you'll see when you read it.
That's an unbiased review right there.
I love my own work.
No, I don't think that there's been one that hasn't hit the mark. I always find them very enjoyable. I think they're
I always
get a laugh and a smile. And I think most people do. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything negative about it.
I did that one with after Karen Grassley's book came out about how she thought that mom pa should have waited to have kids, and then someone was like, well, this is no characteristic of the pre-review. And I'm like,
banned. It's like you think Reddit moderators are bad? Come on over to our group. Now we're pretty. I think we're pretty
liberal.
All the
new is not like something that we do, and you're gone.
we don't just ban people either.
We don't. I mean, usually you have to be like super obnoxious or something.
Yeah, or just post gifts,
or just like straight up mean or something like that.
But all right. Well, you have a good. If we don't record again, have a happy new year. But this will probably be out by February or something like that.
Yeah,
so that's about it. Thank you so much.
This could be our Valentine's Day, since there's that, like, you know.
Yeah, so happy Valentine's Day there.
Fixing up a marriage.
Yeah, that's the big subplot here, is these two like rich people are just, you know, kept all their money for themselves, no kids. They'll adopt Jonathan and Mark. Let them live in
adopt them.
Guest house.